Hey there, if you are ready to build your service-based business from scratch and ditch your 9-to-5, then I want you to head on over to shedidithowaypodcast.com/leap and download my free Ultimate Leap Checklist and Starter Kit. Again, you can head to shedidithowaypodcast.com/leap to download my Ultimate Leap Checklist and Starter Kit to get started on building your service-based business and ditching your 9-to-5. Hello and welcome to She Did It Her Way, a podcast dedicated to helping you launch a business that allows you the freedom to create from anywhere, design your own schedule in a way that supports you, and pursue what it is that lights you up. I'm Amanda Bolin, your host, and it is time to do it your way. Today's podcast episode is sponsored by FreshBooks, which you guys know how much I love these guys. FreshBooks is an invoicing and accounting software designed specifically for small business owners. It's simple, intuitive, and keeps you way more organized than a dusty shoebox filled with crumpled receipts. You can create and send professional-looking invoices in 30 seconds and then get them paid 2 times faster with automated online payments. Getting paid on time as a small business owner is extremely important. And you've got enough to remember without worrying about overdue client invoices. FreshBooks has automatic late payment email reminders so you can spend more time building your business. Join the 24 million people who've used FreshBooks. Try it for free for 30 days, no catch and no credit card required. Head to www.freshbooks.com/she and enter in She Did It Her Way in the How Did You Hear About Us section to get started. Again, that's freshbooks.com/she and enter in She Did It Her Way in How Did You Hear About Us section. Hello, She Did It Her Way listeners. Today on the podcast, we are welcoming Krista and Lindsay from Almost 30 Podcast. I'm super excited to chat with them. I love tuning in and listening to their show. And it's always so fun to connect with other podcasters out in this world of online media and everything. And so Krista and Lindsay, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, girl.
So happy to be here, fellow Chicago fam. So excited to chat with you on the pod.
Yeah, and this is so fun. Always when I get to have two people on the show at the same time. So if Krista, you could say hello so we can get to know your voice. And then Lindsay, you can say hello and we get to know your voice.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Krista Williams.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Simsek.
Yes.
I tried to pitch up the high, so it sounded different.
I know. I was like, I wonder how different they sound.
You guys actually sound quite similar.
It depends on the day. Yeah, sometimes honestly. I'm high, she's low. Sometimes she's high, I'm low.
Yeah.
Our voice tone, not our mood.
I love it. Well, you guys have, I mean, there's so many things that I want to dive into from, okay, we're going to talk. Usually what I love my guests to share is what they were doing before they started doing what they are today. So what was the history before Almost 30 Podcast? Then talk about that transitional point for you when you knew, okay, now it's time. We've done this outlet, this creative, this business, and I'm ready to take it full time. And then we'll dive into some of your key learnings and lessons along the way. But Krista, let's start with you. What were you doing? Actually, first, give us an overview of what Almost 30 Podcast is, and then we'll go back into what you're doing before that, and we'll talk about your journey and then how we got to today.
Yeah, perfect. So Almost 30 Podcast is a podcast that Lindsay and I started about 2.5 years ago when we were going through this transitionary period between our 20s and our 30s. We were talking about relationship, sexuality, career, spirituality, nutrition, wellness. There's just so many things that you're really learning for the first time or relearning or wanting to explore or transitions that you're going through that we felt like we couldn't be the only ones. So we started Almost 30 Podcast to talk about health, wellness, career, spirituality in a really fun, light, funny, approachable way that gives people permission to learn freely, to explore who they are, to grow with us every week. Lindsay and I aren't the experts, but we like to bring on amazing guests that really, really share information and knowledge with our amazing community of listeners. And now it really is about the community. We have Almost 30 Nation, which is super strong in about, you know, 150, 120 countries, I don't know. And we have ambassadors everywhere that facilitate Almost 30 mission and values in cities that they live.
Oh, that is fantastic. And one of the things that I appreciate about your guys, the podcast, the Almost 30 Podcast, is just how you guys are so real and so raw. You don't hold back. You share the stories about what women and people in their 30s and 20s are thinking, but maybe sometimes not always saying it. And you guys go there. And I love, love, love that. Awesome.
Yeah.
So let's, Lindsay, let's start with you. What were you doing? Give us your journey. What was it like before almost 30?
Yeah. So, I actually lived in New York City for 5 years after I graduated from college up in Boston. And I thought I was going to be like, you know, New York ride or die till the day I die. I was like, I'm going to raise my kids in New York. It's going to be so fun and easy. forgot that, that takes money. But in New York, I was bartending at 3 different bars. So working from, you know, 5 p.m. to 4 a.m. most nights, I was running myself into the ground, to be completely honest. And I did that because during the day I was auditioning. So at the time I was really focused on becoming, you know, the next Broadway star. That's what I wanted to do. I was always in musical theater and singer, dancer, actor. And so New York was the place to be. And it's an interesting thing because New York is so, it's has so much energy and it is so inspiring, but it also can beat you down. And it really did. And I, you know, at a young age, I didn't really have the foresight to know that what I was doing was teaching me not only a lot of lessons, but preparing me for what I did later, you know, what I'm doing now. But I just got really kind of heavy, like meaning just emotionally heavy. And so I was looking for something else to do besides bartending. It was kind of I've met some of my best friends in there, but it was a really dark industry. I saw like some dark stuff. So I actually transitioned out of that because I found something called fit modeling. And it's kind of like this non-glamorous side of fashion where you just kind of try on the clothes and they fit it to your body. And it was not my passion, didn't like it. I thought it was actually pretty boring and tiring to stand for 8 hours a day, but it paid my bills really well. So I just knew, I had this knowing, I was like, okay, this is temporary. It's paying my bills and it's giving me my full night's sleep that I've been craving.
Yeah.
So that got me out of bartending. And then soon after, probably maybe a year and a half, I then found SoulCycle and I started riding and I loved being a rider. You know, I was perfectly happy being a rider. I'd never thought about becoming an instructor, but some of the instructors who I rode with religiously asked me if I would audition. And I said, no, like I don't have time. I'm fit modeling, you know, this many hours a week and auditioning and all of this stuff. And they said, what's the worst thing that could happen? So I auditioned and I got it, and it was a 10-week training program, and I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I just made it work somehow. And so much of my life in New York was under that theme of just like, okay, I made it work. You know, I made the next day work, even though I only had 2 hours of sleep the night before. Like, I make it work. And so 3 months into teaching, they asked me if I would move out to LA. And it was a very brief conversation. I literally said yes within the first 30 seconds because I just knew I always wanted to be out in LA. I just didn't know how or when. And I knew this was like a pretty magical moment of like, okay, wow. Like, you know, my choices up until this point brought me to this moment where I can choose to move to the place I always wanted to be and I was always pulled to. So 3 weeks later, I was in LA and I was teaching SoulCycle, and it's completely changed my life. Not only the move, I think that definitely shifted my fearlessness, I guess. Like I came out here with 2 suitcases and no family, no friends, really. So, you know, and I also just started taking care of myself in a different way. You know, it was less about the running myself into the ground and more about nourishing myself from all angles. So not only nutrition, but spiritually, being in nature more, just surrounding myself with people who are aligned with, you know, how I want to live my life. And very soon after that, Kristen and I were connected.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay. One thing that I do want to highlight from what you said is that you had that theme of always finding like making it work. And one of the things that popped out is that almost in the sense of experiencing somewhat of resistance. And I think a lot of us, including myself, can relate wholeheartedly with, okay, I'm going to make it work. I'm going to make it work. I'm going to make it work. In one lane, there's that concept. And then the other lane is that flow and that space that we can create by slowing down to then, you know, speed up in a way that's, there's less resistance. Reason why we're going faster is because we're actually more aligned with what it is that we do. Awesome. Okay. That is amazing. Krista, talk to us then how you got to LA and your journey before almost 30.
Yeah. So I grew up small town, Ohio. And, you know, after going to school in Ohio, what you do is go to Chicago. So I was in Chicago where you were for about 4 years. I worked in finance management consulting, which sounds as fun as it was. And I was just basically at a job because that's what you did. You went to college and you got a job and then you're done. You know, you just try and make money. And I didn't understand, you know, why people hated what they did so much, why people, you know, were in the corporate world when no one really seemed like they liked what they were doing. And I worked at a company that everyone was young and everyone was cool. So I actually met amazing people and some of my best friends, and I actually could be myself at work, but it just never sat with me. And I, from that point, kind of got the feeling that it might not be a fit. So after that, I, after I left that job, I was part of a sexual harassment case and decided to leave the company. And, I traveled a little bit and then I moved to New York when I met, you know, the love of my life, my boyfriend now, Justin. And in New York, I started my blog, The 100 Blog, because I was traveling so much and I wanted a creative outlet outside of, you know, the work that I was doing, because I was still in the corporate world. I was working in digital media at that time. And I just really started to foster my creativity and my spirituality from that point, and really started to grow into the person more so that I am today than ever before. And after being in New York for about, you know, a year, I figured I wanted to try out for SoulCycle. So Lindsay was a SoulCycle instructor and I was obsessed. I was like, oh, this is what's made for me. Like, I love that there was music, fitness, movement. You were a leader. You were part of a community. There was just so much that I really loved about it. So while Lindsay was resisting soul, I was wanting soul. I did.
I mean, the yang.
The yin and the yang, honestly. She's like, no, no, no. I'm like, please, please, God.
You're like, give me more soul.
I was like, please. I mean, I was like broke from SoulCycle. So I tried out for SoulCycle and was like manifesting so hard. It was, you know, there wasn't anything else I wanted to do. And I did everything in the books. Like, I did rituals. I wrote it in my journal. I signed my name, Krista Williams, SoulCycle instructor. Like, I did everything and I didn't get it. So I was like, what am I going to do? I need to try again. So I was like, all right, I'm going to try it again. But this time we're going to be in LA. So my boyfriend and I moved to LA where Lindsay just had moved about a year prior. And I was like, I'm going to try it for SoulCycle in LA. You know, I was still working at my corporate job when I moved first and, you know, was still hating it, still not sure what I was doing or what my path was or what my purpose was, and still confused and lost. And I got connected with Lindsay and she helped me with my audition for my second time at SoulCycle, which I didn't get. So I didn't get SoulCycle, but, you know, once I had met Lindsay, I knew that, you know, our relationship was special and the things that we were going through were special. So we, you know, soon after we got together, we decided to create Almost 30 Podcast. And Almost 30 Podcast was something that we grew for 2 years while we both worked full time. You know, I was still working at a company that, this was a different company at the time, that, you know, I didn't like the job. I was doing something I wasn't passionate about with brands I wasn't passionate about, still going downtown for work every day, commuting, doing the whole thing, really, really disliking the structure that I was in, but working my ass off weekends and nights with Lindsay to build Almost 30 and grow the podcast and put my heart and soul into it. So, you know, 2 years later, we were able to both leave our full-time jobs and, you know, pursue this full time.
I love it. When you guys started and you had Almost 30, how did the name just like come to you, or were was there wine involved?
We have a list on one of our computers.
We do have a list.
How many domains did you buy?
Oh my God, only one. That's so funny. But yeah, we had
weird. No one wanted almost 30.
Yeah, weird. Not a pigeonhole at all. Yeah. No, we had a list. I remember the day, like, we were kind of sitting on the floor in this like random room in the house that I was living in with a couple other people, and we were going back and forth about, like, you know, turning 30, almost whatever, you know, just like using different words to kind of say the same thing. And we landed on almost 30. I don't know why. And, you know, we've had moments, many moments where people are like, what are you going to do now that you're 30 and in your 30s? So, you know, for us really, and it's true, that almost 30 is a metaphor, you know, for any type of transition in your life. And, but, you know, turning 30 is a huge deal and a really big transitional period for a lot of people. We're going through our Saturn return, so that can span from 27 to 32, right? Like, it is a really important time, and we all kind of feel almost something, right? Even if, you know, we have listeners who are in their 50s, right? And like, we have listeners who are in their late teens. Like, you always feel this sense of like, okay, I'm almost there with something. So we really just wanted to create a community and conversation that could make people feel like they could be themselves during this transition. Like, they don't have to be anyone else, that they could really educate themselves and lean on their community and be the best version of themselves to do this. So that's what we did.
Mm-hmm. Now, and I have like so many, I'm already in so many questions. One of the things that my listeners love learning about is the actual leap, because it is so personal to everyone, especially from a financial situation and knowing when it makes the most sense. I would love if you guys could pull back the curtain and share with us, you know, how did you make the decision and know it was the right time? Did you want to get almost 30 in a like financial situation before you made the leap? And what was that, what was that tipping point for you? Because I know one of the actionable items that you guys shared is that, you know, quit your job when it makes sense financially and not a day before. So I would love for you to share more on that.
Yeah, I have personal experience with that. So when I moved to LA in the first place, I quit my job that I was working in New York, that I was actually able to work remote. So they were like, yeah, you can move to LA and work remote. So I was working remote for a few months and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to quit this job and I'm going to pursue my blog, you know, 100 blog. And I didn't have a plan. I didn't have enough money saved. I didn't have, you know, like incoming that I knew about. And I struggled. And I struggled for 8 or so months. And I was floundering and I was getting in credit card debt because I had no plan. I had no processes in place. I started serving. I started babysitting. I was doing whatever I could. And during that time, because I didn't have a plan and I didn't set myself up successfully, I had to apply to get another job that I knew I was going to not like. And that process was painful. I would go through interviews and I probably made it to the like final round of like 8 companies. Mm-hmm. And eventually I was able to get a job. But I know from that process that, you know, I think that there is something to people pursuing their dreams with reckless abandon and going all for it. But then there is also a very grounded approach that people need to take. And I think that it may seem scary and it may seem like it will take longer than you think, but if you really are determined, you can make it happen. And so for us with almost 30, you know, we built it for 2 years, and there was a moment when, for almost 30, we were invited to do a speaking opportunity. And of course, I'm being the great employee I was, and I was lying about where I was to do this speaking opportunity.
None of us have ever done that. No.
Yeah. None of us. So it's like, whatever, you know, I was sick. And in that hour that I was speaking, I was doing something that I love with people I love, feeling empowered, feeling fulfilled. I made more money than I do in 2 weeks. And I knew at that time that there we had something. And I knew before, but I decided to put, you know, just a plan in place where we were making more than I was making before. And we had an accountant. We were a legitimate business. We had revenue enough saved for us to be secure for a couple months if no more revenue was coming in. So it seems you know, it's always uncomfortable dealing with money, I think, for a lot of people, and it is for me too, but being really, really realistic about it and knowing that I had enough money to feel good and to not flounder and to not freak out was very, very important. And I think people really need to be realistic about that, you know, if they do think about quitting to pursue their passion full time.
Yeah. I really appreciate you sharing that and just being so raw and open. And I know one of the things in our BYOB accelerator, one of the courses, or just even on this podcast, is really, really diving in and saying, you know, there's that emotional, and I even went through it where one time I was emotionally going to quit my job and my friend's mom was like, honey, you are not going to do that. And I was like, I will, you know, do X, Y, and Z while I'm still paying student loan debt and all this other thing. And you know, your mind just emotionally, when you're in that moment, you want to quit so bad, you're so devastated. And you're like, if I could just, and a lot of times I think people hold out and think that they're going to figure it out once they quit and they have all this time, when in reality, that's almost a determinant because you have so much time, your brain wanders, you expand into, like, instead of getting something done in 4 hours, you're going to get it done in 8 hours because you have the time. And I really think that, you know, when you have that constraint of a full-time job, it's one of the most, you know, beautiful yet sometimes like love-hate relationships, but it puts that constraint on your schedule and forces you to learn how to produce work with the time that you have and get really clear on what do you say yes to, what do you say no to, and like what needs to happen. But really, thank you for peeling back the curtain and, you know, just being so open and honest with that. Lindsay, what was your experience?
Yeah. So I was teaching SoulCycle up until about almost, I guess, 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I quit. And, you know, for me, what SoulCycle provided was more than just, you know, financial stability. For me, SoulCycle was my place where I could perform. You know, I wasn't really consistently working in the acting world. For many reasons, I really wasn't actively pursuing it. I was in classes and I was creating on my own and I was working with friends to create. So actually for me, like, that does feel really, really good. But SoulCycle was a place where I could perform and be kind of bigger than life and the center of attention. You know, like, I was the kid when I was younger where, like, I'd want my mom to film me all the time and I'd like push my siblings out of the way, you know? So that really felt good. And the community piece was something unexpected that kept me at SoulCycle for as long as I was there for 4.5 years. And it's a really special community. Like, what happens in that room, you know, I've never experienced up until that point. And now we get to create with almost 30 in real life at our events and things like that. But, you know, I also honored SoulCycle for bringing me to Krista. You know, like, I kept being brought to people and experiences and opportunities through SoulCycle that really either accelerated my growth, you know, presented me opportunities that I could never dream of. So I was just kind of like feeling it. I was really feeling it up until that point. And then when it got to the time when, you know, I was not able to give energetically as much as I wanted to the podcast, and it was really compromising, you know, my content that I could give, then I was like, okay, I got to think about this. You know, why am I staying at SoulCycle? Why? Okay. You know, can I still participate in that by being a writer? And can I just get even more out of the podcast and really, you know, dive even deeper? And that's what happened. So when I quit, you know, it was scary. It's really nice to have a partner in this thing because, you know, we can have these conversations. Krista like led the way and she did it 6 months prior. So I really had the confidence because she was so confident. And then, you know, anytime I'm feeling a little uneasy, it's like, you know, you have someone to talk to and the facts are there. The facts are facts. We're growing consistently and we can support ourselves with what we're doing, which is incredible. And people don't believe it ever. And they're very confused, but we do. And I'm so, so proud of us that we do. I mean,
yeah,
to be completely honest, like, I think about it at least once every other day. It's like, we were on our fucking closet floors. We were like sweating and suffocating and like having insane, weird conversations. And now it is a full-blown business and we just hired our first full employee. Like, it's the craziest shit of my life. And I'm just so excited that like those risks, quote unquote, produce this. So I'm like excited about the other risks we're going to take and like the big moves and the shifts, because like, I just trust it wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, the part where when people are like, wait, what is this? How is this a business? And the questions. And I think that is such a powerful moment to pause and really reside in there, because there is, when you're in a sphere that people get you of entrepreneurship and they're cheering you on and they understand what it is when you say to hold space and be aligned. And then there's another school of thought, and there's nothing, it's not about right or wrong. It's just different schools of thought. And so sometimes I think when, and especially I can say from my own experience, is that when you're in such a vulnerable position building a business that oftentimes doesn't necessarily correlate in the same thing as if you told someone you're a lawyer or you're an accountant, that's much easier to grasp. And I think when we put ourselves in those situations in the beginning and we're vulnerable, it sometimes can rock us a little bit, or maybe that's my only experience.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
So then it causes you to get in your head. And so what I want to say, and like, thank you for sharing that too, is that for you guys listening in, like those moments are part of the process, and don't give it any more meaning beyond that it is part of the process and letting you know you're on the right path. Because I went to an alumni event and I studied finance in college, and I went to a luncheon and I was like, you know, everyone's great, everyone's nice. But as soon as they're like, what do you do? And I'm like, I have an online business and a podcast. They're like, okay. And then you can just see like the wheels kind of spinning, and it's like moving on to the next, versus if it was like an entrepreneurial event, everybody's like, oh my gosh, like, hello. And it's just, again, it's two different groups of people, not right or wrong. But just knowing that. And I wrote so many questions. When you guys originally, so Almost 30 came out, and what was the original, I mean, if you had a business plan or you had an intention, did you anticipate it to be where it's at today? Did you know all along that was the path, or were you taking steps one at a time and then unveiling 10 feet? Okay, here's another 10 feet. This is what it looks like, and making decisions as you go. Or did you know exactly like, we're going to build this and then do this and then this?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. And, you know, just to your point that you just mentioned about people asking about how you make money and kind of, you know, that paradigm, which is a word I've been using a lot lately, but, you know, the two paradigms that exist. Although I've been frustrated, you know, at times that people ask me continuously how I make money doing what I do, I try and be as patient as I can, because it is new and it is learning, and people don't know what podcasts are, and people don't know how this whole industry works. So being as kind and compassionate to those people as I can to kind of explain what it is that I do and how it is that I make money and how I support myself and Lindsay and a team, without kind of being a little offended, is definitely normal. And it means you're on the right path. And, you know, I think that's completely, completely normal. But for us, as far as our business plan, and, you know, for Almost 30, we started, you know, pitching sponsors like the third or fourth month that we were live. We had recorded episodes for like 7-6 months before. So we have a bunch of crappy audio, you know, that it will never see the light of day. So we knew we wanted to really make this something that was sustainable. So there wasn't a plan exactly from the beginning to make it a $1 million business, but we wanted it to sustain itself. We wanted to cover our costs. We wanted to kind of see where this would go. And we started pitching brands early on too, because we knew that our market and our feedback that we were getting was so positive and people were feeling so connected to us and the brand. So we started to create a business plan, you know, a few months after that, maybe even a year. And it wasn't hard and fast, but it was really like getting dreamy about what it is that we could do and what it is that we could work towards and what it is that Almost 30 stood for and that Almost 30 could be. was something and an exercise that we practiced for, you know, quite some time. We made a investor deck. So if people were going to invest in us, which isn't a route that we're pursuing right now, but something we thought about for a while, that really helped us to clarify and crystallize what it is that Almost 30 could be outside of just being a podcast and what muscles we could flex, such as being a media company or having a space or doing an unscripted series. You know, there's a lot of different routes and avenues that we could go. And that is the most beautiful thing about what we do, is that there are no limits, and it's, you know, we can create our destiny, but kind of getting together and making sure that we're on the same page for our future and for our business is something that Lindsay and I do regularly, and it is very important to us. So again, we put things out there, we write it down, we have time when we talk about the future, we talk about strategy, we talk about our hopes and dreams for Almost 30, but we're never really hard and fast about what those things are, and we do our best to allow the universe to show us the beauty in surprising us, in creating and allowing these amazing things to happen.
Mm-hmm. And that's such a good reminder, especially in a age where we can easily get wrapped in or do a knee-jerk reaction and doing something because we think that we should do it or because someone else is doing it, instead taking a moment and taking a pause and saying, wait, does this feel right? Does this feel good?
Yeah.
And then always what I love that you shared was, you know, having fun with it and then also dreaming big and thinking about what it could be versus planning it to be so rigid and it has to be this way. And you're allowing freedom for it to grow into something that maybe is unimaginable and you haven't thought of it yet. And it's such
because we're in an industry that didn't really exist as much a few years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, people weren't really doing podcasts as a full-time job, you know, 3 to 5 years ago, unless you were Joe Rogan. So it's like, how are we to know what is in the future for us to make money or create? And, you know, we get approached with things all the time. Like, when are you guys writing a book? When are you doing X, Y, and Z? When are you doing this? And like, I've been really trying to poke holes in everything that we're being approached with to make sure that it's really aligned for Lindsay and I, and that it's not someone else's idea. There was something else that someone said that me and Lindsay were talking about. And I was like, okay, so, and I just wanted for us to be so clear and so honest, like, is that someone else's vision for us or is that ours? Is it in our best interest? Is it in my soul's desire? You know, is it something that I, Krista Williams, want to do and will be excited about doing? Or am I chasing the money or am I chasing the fame or am I chasing someone else's dream? Mm-hmm. So, you know, always making sure that you are coming back to yourself or your partner to figure out what it is that your future looks like, but also the allowing.
Yeah, there's a lot of shiny objects, you know, as you gain more and more success or just are more visible. And, you know, I think that there is a part of every human being that wants things now and quickly. And what Almost 30 has really taught us so many things, but one of the things is like, things take time. And, you know, if something happens so quickly, it's not always the best thing. Like, our growth has been organic and slow and consistent, you know? And, that's why, again, I'm just so grateful that like I have a partner in this where we have those moments to really check in. It's really important because if you want to be in this for the long game, you don't want a really quick decision because it's a lot of money or it's going to be really cool and, you know, all of that to completely change the, you know, direction of what you set out to do. One decision could do that. Mm-hmm. And that's not to put the, you know, a really heavy pressure on everything you do, but it's just, you have to be thoughtful. There's no rush. You can take a moment, you can take a few days, you can take a week to decide. A lot of people want decisions now. They put the pressure on you, you know, like you watch Shark Tank and the sharks are like, I need you to tell me now or I'm out. Like, it's like, hey,
you've been on a Shark Tank kick.
Can I have a moment? You know what I mean? And even we have conversations. We have conversations now where they're like, you know, we just feel the pressure to make a decision. And, you know, too, in that vein, it's like, are we making decisions for others or for ourselves? You know, and like for us, our community is number one. Like, we are number one. And like any outside forces, we really have to question like what their intentions are with Almost 30.
Yeah. Love the, I mean, there's always shiny objects, which I have a two-part question because you guys both brought up having a partner in this. How have you guys managed the relationship with having two co-founders, two leaders in this, and where has been like the greatest success and value benefit? And then where have you guys maybe learned individually about yourself through the process of having a co-founder?
Yeah. I mean, it's a learn, you know, any relationship is like a learning, you know, whether it's a romantic or a friend or a family, because it's a mirror for you to look at yourself and how you're interacting with the world and how you speak to someone, engage with someone, learn from someone, react to someone, can support someone. You know, there's so many opportunities for Lindsay and I on a daily basis to kind of rethink how we're approaching one another or how we're approaching the world. But, you know, us working together has been like so seamless. It's insane. You know, we've never had an awkward conversation about finances or money or taxes or the team or the business or the vision yet. And it's really been such a beautiful thing to know that, you know, our friendship is first and like our respect for ourselves and our relationship is first and everything will come that we want, you know, that we want to come. But, you know, being in a business with someone, for people that are looking to do it, it's easy for Lindsay and I, but I don't know if that's normal. You know, I think that for a lot of people, once money gets in the picture, it can be awkward. If you guys knew each other before and you guys have known each other for a long time, it could be interesting or different because you have a certain idea of someone that maybe isn't the entrepreneurial idea of that person. So there's a lot that goes into it, and it's, you know, more of a commitment than people think too. Like I have Justin, my partner, and then I have Lindsay. We have a baby together that is almost 30. We have a life together that is almost 30. You know, that needs to be fed, that needs to be cared for, that needs to be watered. So yeah, it's just a very beautiful thing that people I think need to be very thoughtful of.
And too, I think it's been really beautiful that we've both been able to give each other the space and permission to grow. You know, like sometimes like growing individually is kind of painful and awkward. And, you know, we are very deep in the self-development world and doing the work, you know, and I think a really important piece to emphasize is that if you are in a partnership, doesn't matter if it's romantic, you know, within a business, whatever it is, a friendship, you have to do the work. Like you're ever evolving and ever changing. So to do things the same way forever is not going to fly. Like something's going to collapse. So, you know, really supporting one another as we grow, as we work on these things to be better for ourselves, for one another, for almost 30 and for our future, you know, like that's, I'm really excited, you know, our lives are going to be changing and evolving as we get older and, you know, we get married and maybe there's kids in the picture and, you know, slowing down, like, you know, all of these things. And we hope to have, and, you know, we plan to have almost 30 throughout that and have that evolve as well. So, you know, giving also your partner just that space to, you know, become more so the person they were meant to be.
Mm-hmm. And I know, my weeks are merging together already and it's only the second month of 2019, but you guys did a self-love podcast, for Valentine's last week. Mm-hmm. I think it was. Yeah. And, resonated so much with it about how much the growth and in our relationships is really, I think Krista, you said it too, just the mirror piece of it. And like when we have the capacity to love ourselves, we can then love other people. And it's not about necessarily trying to change other people, but also recognizing that for the relationships around us to get to grow, we also have to have the relationship with ourselves and that self-love piece as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is really good. I do have, so going back to, you know, the shiny object syndrome or not syndrome, but like sometimes I'm like, oh my God, that looks great. And then I think what you're saying too is the more you get exposure and the more you grow, there's more opportunities and you have to assess, okay, is this someone else's agenda or how does it align with me? And then our company is almost 30. What has been the hardest no or the hardest decision to make at this point that you guys have made in your business?
I think we're in the process of making it. Mm-hmm. So we have had a lot of success, you know, so far, and we have had a lot of opportunities. And I think right now we're kind of at the helm of making some really big decisions and going through that process. So, you know, for me, quitting my job was hard, but it was very necessary and it felt very personal to me. And I think the same for Lindsay. But as far as almost 30, when we think about, you know, 2019 and 2020, we are now being provided opportunities that we need to make decisions about. Before it was like, please, everyone, listen to us, you know, like we are here. Like we just were doing the work and we were in it and we were growing and we were just really focused on making this sustainable and the content in our community. And now we have the chance to review things and to check in and make the hard decisions, like about joining a network or being a part of another business, or, you know, what we should do financially for the future, or what we should do financially with the team, or what we should do about the team, how to give feedback, how to be a manager, you know. So there's so many questions now that, you know, you think that when you grow, you're like, all right, cool. Like that's the goal, you know, we're done, but it really just begins, you know, and it never really stops. The growing never stops. The questions never stop. And the work never really stops. It just kind of evolves into what it is.
Mm-hmm. What, and I know one of the things that you guys have said that you've grown the most in your business is when you went on tour last year. If you wouldn't mind sharing with us, okay, talk about, you know, what was the idea with the tour? How did it end? And like, what was it about that experience that had you guys both grew?
Yeah. So we first started out doing events in LA. So in real life, we were meeting our listeners and the community that was forming, and it just energized us in a way that we had, you know, had never dreamed of. And so we started to think about, okay, so our audience doesn't just live in LA, like they are everywhere. So how can we meet more of them? Because it was really inspiring to have one-on-one conversations with people in our community who have been, you know, touched by the podcast. It's really helped them to navigate XYZ transitions. And they feel like we're their friends because we are. Honestly, every time we meet them, we're like, do we know you? Like, it's crazy how familiar everyone is. So then we just did it, you know, and that's kind of a theme of almost 30 as a business. It's like, we just did it. We just started traveling and we were like, okay, we're going to go to Toronto and we're going to have an event for our listeners there. And what we did was kind of tap into our secret Facebook group, who's where and where can we go and to meet you all. So Toronto kicked it off. And then, you know, we traveled around the country and we ended in Vancouver in December, and we're going to kick it off again and go global. So we're going to be in London and Australia and then visit domestic cities, many of which we haven't been to yet and some of which we have, but we're going to do a live show instead. So we're adding like different legs to the tour. So there's going to be a live show. There's going to be, you know, more of what we've been doing, like really fun, intimate workshop style, 50 to 200 people. And then we're going to do a college tour. It's in the planning stages and we have some set. So we're really excited to reach an audience that when we think about ourselves at that age, we wish we had this content, this community, these conversations to help us navigate what we are going through. So we're really excited to do that. But, you know, the tour for us, you know, yeah, we make money, but it's really not about the money, to be completely honest. It's not enough or a lot. So it's really about the experience for our community and empowering them, you know, in real life and to create community within their, where they live. And yeah, it inspires our next thing, right? Like meeting them, they give us so many ideas. So I really encourage business owners, no matter what you do, to meet your customers, to meet the people in your community. It's easy to be behind a microphone and never meet people. And I totally respect people who do that. But for us, this has been the differentiator.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. That's so exciting. Well, you'll have to let us know if Chicago is on that tour
list.
It
is. We're going to do a live show.
Mm-hmm. Do you have details as to when, or can you share that?
Yeah, they're coming out soon. Stay tuned. But yeah, we're
perfect.
We're finalizing the venue. We're really pumped.
So exciting. Awesome. Well, this has been amazing. I would like to close this out and wind down through what I call a rapid fire round. So these are meant to be super quick, super fast, whatever comes to mind. And Krista, I'll have you start with your answer. And then Lindsay, you'll be the second, just so we know who's this. Okay. What is something in your life that is a non-negotiable?
Humor, sense of humor, like period, the end.
Yeah. Took mine, but not took mine. We're very much the same. Yeah. We spent every moment together. Non-negotiable is my alone time.
Mm. Yes. God bless. Even as an extrovert, it's like, I need time to recharge.
Yeah. Well, that's where I get my energy. That's more so like it's required because I would be an insane human being if I didn't.
I love it. What is something that you believe that others may think is insane?
Go ahead.
Wow. Something. Oh my God. Everything that I believe. I mean, honey.
Yeah.
Every single thing that exists in life, I think is like not real. I'm a conspiracy theory person through and through. So the financial system, like Chuck E. Cheese. Let's just say Chuck E. Cheese. Their pizza is not right.
Oh my God. Well, wait, their pizza's not right? Tell me more.
No, their pizza. So Shane Dawson did a YouTube documentary about their pizza. And what they do is when like kids leave the table and they're like, okay, we're done. We're going to leave Chuck E. Cheese. They'll take the extra slices and they'll repurpose them for the next table.
And create a new pie. There are pictures on the internet. Google it.
Google Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh my gosh.
That is insane.
That makes me so, I loved Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. That is one conspiracy theory that I had zero knowledge of. That's so fascinating. Yeah, no. I mean, I was with this past weekend, my friend and her husband, they recently had a baby 8 months ago. And she's like, my husband and I think there's a conspiracy theory about baby clothes because as soon as you wear it once, you have to like repurchase it. I don't know. It was either baby clothes or baby toys, but they also were like, they just make it so that you have to keep buying. I'm like, well, yeah. Okay.
I mean,
but there's some crazy, they're not crazy, but there's some like, yeah, I'm there with you. What is like the best $100 or less purchase one can make in their business or life?
Oh, for our business, I would say probably this sounds silly, but we use HoneyBook to organize our finances and our accounting and our invoicing. And I think, you know, it's a monthly subscription. And I know this is pretty techie, but that has really, really helped us stay on track, stay on touch of our clients and their invoicing. So we really love, you know, using HoneyBook.
Mm-hmm. And then for when we need to move our lymphatic system in the office, we got a $20 car buffer, Black & Decker off Amazon, and you buff your body and moves your lymph.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. I love it. What is the next piece of your business that you're going to outsource? If you could wave a magic wand, what is the one thing that you're like, okay, get it off my plate today. You wouldn't have to worry about outsourcing. That person just would already know it. What would it be?
Partnerships and, you know, our production. So we have a production team that does the post, but Lindsay does all of the pre-production. So that means getting the files over, recording ad spots, getting photos from our guests, getting bios from our guests, organizing all the information that is used by a production team to create the episode, you know, as you know. So we would love to off-put that. And then also, you know, the brand partnerships that we do are very important to us. You know, I love those relationships, as does Lindsay, but we need help organizing and running that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
The same. Yeah.
Right there with you. And then the last one that I have, well, actually two, what is your favorite book that you've read?
Ooh, Big Magic. And then I'm reading right now, or Big Magic and the Big Leap. Mm-hmm. And then I'm reading right now Attached, which has got me. It's a really great book talking about the attachment styles within relationships and how to navigate any relationship according to your attachment style and that of your partner.
Oh. And I'm reading right now that I really love. It's called The Food Therapist by Shira something. But it is a great insight into your eating habits, your food habits, how you approach eating, how you approach dieting, you know, all this information that helps us look at food from a more holistic level and a more spiritual level, so we can connect more to our food, hence connecting to our body and connecting more to ourselves. So I'm really, really enjoying the book called The Food Therapist that actually just came out.
Oh, I'll have to look at that. I love it.
It's an easy read too.
Yeah. Last question is that if your life had a movie title, what would it be? And it doesn't have to be one that's already like out there. It can be a made up one.
Mine would be called 2 years, because every 2 years I'm pretty much a new person. So basically it would be like a recap of me every 2 years of my life, kind of evolving and growing.
I love that.
Great one.
Yeah.
That's really good. Mine would be called, say it, bitch. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good one.
For a second, I'm like, wait, she's talking to herself.
Yes. Yeah. I spent a lot of my life not saying things that I wanted to say or you know, just because I thought it might hurt someone or it might ruffle people's feathers or make them think something about me. So Krista and I both are kind of in a season of being radically honest with one another, with other people, in a way that is nurturing, empowering. And yeah, say it, bitch.
I feel, yeah, that's gonna be your book title.
Right. Can't wait.
Oh, I love it. This is amazing. Let's close this. If you would close us out, tell my listeners where they can find out more information about you guys and Almost 30 Podcast.
Yeah. So you can listen to Almost 30 on iTunes, Almost 30 Podcast, anywhere you can listen to podcasts, Spotify, all the things. Almost30podcast.com. You can find out if we are going to be in or around your city this year. Your Podcast Pro is a business that we have as well. So if you want to start a podcast, we have all of the resources there. We have courses, we have downloadables, one-offs, all of that to help you bring your idea to iTunes in no time. So we're really excited about that. And then on Instagram at almost30podcast, 30 at almost30podcast on Twitter. And I am at Lindsay Simcik, S-I-M-C-I-K on Instagram.
And I'm at 100 blog, H-U-N-D-R-E-D blog on Instagram.
Yeah. Amazing. We will go ahead and link to all of those resources in the show notes. Just another big thank you guys so much for your time and coming on the show. I know that my listeners going to love it.
Oh, Chris. Can't wait to meet you in Chicago. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That'd be amazing. Thank you. Wait.
Yes. Thank you so much, honey.
Thanks, girl.
Bye.
Bye.
Get paid twice as fast with automated online payments through FreshBooks. You can give FreshBooks a 30-day free trial, no strings, no catch, no credit card required. Head to FreshBooks.com/she and enter in She Did It Her Way in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast episode. For more information, check out shedidherway.com. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would love for you to leave me a review on iTunes and let me know what you think. Until next time, keep doing it your way.